and my soda. Get us started.
Good, good. I want to have that on. I want that recorded.
We had it from, Deadly Premonition when we were doing the intro. Oh, I think somebody was munching. That was you.
That's right, yeah.
So welcome to the first episode of Mike to Mike.
The new podcast.
A podcast from Game Clubs.
Only for mics, so if you're listening to this and you're not a mic, you should just turn it off.
It's just not allowed.
That's not going to happen. Like, we don't want you.
So we are recording our first episode in the back room of Retro Games Plus. So
like
we,
Edward R. Murrow in World War II. Like, hello, hello.
So there will be, every time a new customer enters, you're going to hear a wonderful chime. So just
which
excuse
is great,
that.
Because it kind of will tell you how popular the store is.
There you go. Got hopefully it'll be buzzing the whole time.
Yeah, hopefully.
So I think to kick it off, I mean, we had Metal Gear Month going on, which is which has been pretty cool. And you definitely played a lot more than I did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've played a lot of those games. Maybe I bit off more than I could chew. Cause the first two are pretty quick, but then three takes a while, and four is definitely a long
three
game.
Definitely. Let me. Yeah, I'll rephrase what I said earlier. You've played more in the last month than I have. I've played through all the Metal Gears, just not in one step.
Of course, of course.
But yeah, three definitely takes like a really long. It has a big break, I think, in the middle of the game, and all the transitions a lot, and then I haven't played it in some time. But
it's an interesting game, but I guess to start with, I mean, I don't know how you see this podcast, but the way I see it is just us meeting, you know, once every so often and just talking maybe about one series or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, kind of isolated and a little bit more direct and keep them somewhat short. I don't know, we'll see how long this goes. Yeah.
So I guess what I was thinking is maybe we just start by talking about, you know, we go one after another, talk a little bit about each.
Yeah.
Starting with Metal Gear Solid 1. What was the... how did you first get into Metal Gear Solid, I guess?
That's
or Metal
good
Gear?
Good question.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly. I think just because when I got PS1...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, I don't think I owned a PS1 until after it was out for some time.
Yeah.
But I was just at a friend's house and played it a lot, and then I didn't have a whole lot of games when I did get it, so I'd borrow them. And it either was cheap and I bought it, or I borrowed it from a friend and acquired it. And ended up loving it.
Yeah. See, I was, at the time when it came out, I was like a hardcore Nintendo fanboy. So I had the N64, but I didn't have this PlayStation. And, like, now I don't like the N64. Like, I don't think it's a very good system. But back then, like, I was convinced that it was the best thing. And, like, oh, the Sony PlayStation, it sucks, man. Like, this, who would ever want to play this, you know? So, eventually, all my friends started talking about Metal Gear Solid, because it had just come out. And like, oh, it's awesome. Like, I just got to the part where you shoot the missile, and you have to shoot, like, the power grid thing. And I'm like, that's not something you do in video games. Like, what the hell are you guys talking about? Like, in a cutscene? Like, no, you did it in the game. I'm like, that doesn't sound right. So I went to my friend's house, and I watched him play, like, the opening scene of it, or, like, the opening part on the dock, and you go up the elevator, and I'm like... I gotta get this game. Like, damn it, I don't want to get it, but I have to get it.
That opening scene, too, I remember being the first time that I remember, and it might have been in video games where the intro credits rolled over your gameplay, and it created a very cinematic kind of... I was like, whoa, what is this?
I mean, I think that's one of my favorite parts about the series is just how cinematic it is, you know? I mean, like, there's always... You know, the cutscenes aren't filmed like regular video game cutscenes. They're filmed like, you know, movie cutscenes. And you see that a lot. I mean, granted, I'm sure if you were an actual filmmaker and you saw what Kojima did with the cutscenes, you'd probably be like, no, you can't only do one continuous take at all times. Like, you have to, like, you know, change angles. But, like, just the idea that there was a story that kind of didn't fit, like, video game stories, where it wasn't simple, it was complex, there were themes, you know, and it was, you know, it was adult, but at the same time, there were funny parts in it.
Yeah, it always has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say, I mean, a lot of PlayStation 1 games haven't aged well, but I still think Metal Gear Solid looks incredible even today. Because, obviously, if you compare it to, like, Metal Gear Solid 5, which is coming out soon, like, it looks like crap, but it knows its limitations and it works with them. Like, the characters don't have complex faces.
Yes.
Like, it has a style.
Yeah, I completely would agree with that. Because when you play it, it's... you're still, like, reading these characters' body language.
Yeah.
And they're still playing... You're still playing through it and getting a lot out of the story. And you get very engulfed in it. And the graphics don't take away from the gameplay too much.
Yeah, I mean, I think the graphics work to serve the game better. Because... you know, it's kind of simple in a lot of ways. Like, in most of the areas, there isn't a lot of complex things. It's mostly just, you know, like, sharp corners and you know, tanks or something like that. Like, nothing that's, like, you know, really fluid. So only the characters are ever, you know, like, curved or anything like that. But I think that's, you know, partly on purpose and partly because of the limitations, which, yeah. You know, I think, like, altogether, I think that helps the game so much more than if they had tried to make it like every other PlayStation game and tried to make it look, you know, like Siphon Filter or something like that, which doesn't quite look great today, except for his weird hip-swing run when he runs. But
it is really hard to define, too, though, because it's something about... Yeah. Just think about that game when you go back to play it. I mean, you definitely notice that the graphics really aren't great, but they once you're immersed in the game for more than 5 minutes, it's just...
You just don't even notice.
Think about it.
Yeah. So, the only other thing is, and I think it's kind of weird, because I go back and forth on it, but I don't know how you are, but the controls for Metal Gear Solid 1, especially on the PlayStation... I remember not having a problem with them when it came out. It's fine. But, oh my god, sometimes they're pretty rough. Like, they expect you to do a lot of stuff sometimes.
It's so funny that you bring that up, because I didn't get through the other ones lately, but I have been playing one.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing that I thought was, I started playing it, I was like, I don't remember this being a challenge. Yeah. I remember being fluid at this game, and combat was, like, action, and...
Yep.
And now,
like,
I'm
just,
like...
Yeah, just, like, choking out a guy is so hard to do now, and I used to be able to do it effortlessly.
I recently did the Psycho Mantis fight, and that involves a lot of switching between, well, I mean, controller ports and everything, but also different weapons, and I was struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
I went through all my health items and literally every ammo.
Yeah. And what's weird is it's the opposite with most games, where you kind of don't want to use the analog stick for this game. You can... But especially with the Sniper Wolf fight, the first one, because I always kill her with the Nikita the second time around. Like, I'm a cheater. I don't even care. But it's so hard to shoot her when you have to aim the gun with the analog stick for some reason. I have no idea why. Like, only the D-pad works for that for me.
Did they have analog when this game was made? Because I remember that was...
I want to say they did, because it uses it. So...
So how would it...
I would assume... Yeah, I think they did... Because it doesn't...
Because the original PlayStation controllers didn't have analog,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, they didn't. Which is kind of weird when you think about it. But I guess you don't need an analog stick to play anything but, like, Ape Escape for that system, so... But yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of weird, but once you use the D-pad a little more and once you get comfortable with the controls, it kind of comes back to you. I'm still not as good as I was when I was a kid, but... You know, it's
you can
doable.
Get through the game, and still enjoy it. And interesting, not to jump back and forward too much, but an interesting graphics comparison is a really nice tip of the hat in 4 when they play through opening sequence of 1.
Yeah.
And that pulls on every nostalgia theme that you can.
I think 4 we'll get to in a little bit, because I think there's a lot I want to say about 4, because I started out hating it, but now I really love it. It's a really complex, weird
game. Yeah, I've got a lot to get through that as well. We'll try to keep it in order. Yeah.
So Metal Gear Solid 1, huge game for us anyways. I don't know how big it was for other people. But that game I played over and over again. You know, I got the tuxedo. I got the Spider-Man costume for Cyborg Ninja, which isn't really Spider-Man. He's just, like, red and blue. I don't know why I think that. But so PlayStation 2 comes out, and there's nothing great to buy for it. And then they released Metal Gear Solid 2, and that's about the time that I really got excited for PS2. I mean, what were some of your first impressions? Like, what do you know about the hype before the game came out?
So I was definitely on the hype train. I remember distinctly asking for that for Christmas for my mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, mom would always get me one or two, like, decent Christmas gifts, and I just made it abundantly clear that that's kind of all I was interested in. Yeah. She's like, well, it's just one video game. You don't want anything else than that. That's it. That's just what I want. So I ended up, I'm assuming some jackass at GameStop twisted her arm and sold her super hard on, like, every extra thing she could. She ended up buying some disc. It was like a... how-to, not really a walkthrough, not really... It was just the most random... add-on IGN something. I don't even think it was IGN, but it was just some bullcrap disc that she got sold, plus the game and then the strategy guide. So I jumped right into that Christmas Day, whatever year that came out.
Yeah.
Played it straight through that night. And I used to play that game That was the year that I got the PS2, and it was also very, very hard to get memory cards when the PS2 first came out.
I remember that, yeah.
So I played that game without saving for several months.
It's pretty terrible.
Different. So I would come home from school, I would just start the game, and I would just play through it. And I got it to the point where I can do it. And if you skip a lot, you can...
Yeah, if you skip the cutscenes, most of the game pretty quickly. But, like, usually 6 hours, if you're really good. I kind of had a similar experience. I remember I was way into Metal Gear Solid 1, obviously. So when, like, the previews of MGS2 started coming out in, like, the magazines and stuff, I'd read all of them. I remember my friend got a magazine. He's like, dude, this game's going to be awesome. I'm like, oh, yeah, is it going to be for PS1 or PS2? He's like, oh, it's for PS2. Like, you're a loser. You're never going to get a PS2. Like, you're never going to get to play it, but I will. I'm like, wow, you're a jerk. But all right, fair enough. But I ended up getting a PS2 before it came out anyways. It was a really cool game. Like, I wasn't expecting it, and I think I said this in my review, but, like, if you had asked me what Metal Gear Solid 2 was going to be, I wouldn't have even gotten any bit of that right.
Threw everybody for a loop.
And I think this is actually where Kojima got the reputation for being somebody who pulls, you know, like twists in his games, because nothing at the beginning even hinted at Raiden being the main character.
No.
They even went out of their way to make trailers with Snake on, like, Big Shell, like, fighting the Harrier on the George Washington Bridge, like, all this stuff that wasn't in the game.
But that confused me, along with, I would think, thousands of people, though, when you started playing as him, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then 5 minutes go by, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then maybe a half an hour goes by, and you're like, well, what's going on? became clear that you weren't going back when they kept reintroducing Snake again and again and again, and you're like,
Well, it was funny, because when I got the game, that was back when I'd still read the manuals before ever putting in the game. Like, I had to read it front cover to back cover. And I remember getting to the part where it's like, cast the characters, like, Snake, Raiden. And I look at the picture of Raiden, I'm like, oh, he gets to play as a girl? Like, that's going to be so cool. Like, that's such a cool... I knew Kojima was going to do something cool like this. But sure enough, I get there, and I'm like, what? This isn't... I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
If it doesn't jump around too much, I did want to bring up, how much do you think the Metal Gear story was written or is written prior to the development of all these games?
I think, to be honest with you, I kind of think he just does it per game.
I think he's just, like,
a genius at flowing. I don't think he has an overarching,
flowing. Because it's such a developed story.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it kind of glaringly seems like he's just plugging things in where he can and retwisting them. And I think Raiden's development into crazy cyborg ninja badass ninja was just Raiden, an overreaction to people's discontent with him in 2. Not that he was a terrible character in 2, but...
Yeah, the thing is, I'll be honest with you, I hated him when I first played the game through, and I was like, this sucks, like, I want to be Snake the whole time. But eventually you realize first of all, it's kind of cool to see Snake from somebody else's perspective, because you always play as him. So when you're riding and you're, like, at the end, it's like, how the hell did you get here? It's like, oh, I got into a fight with Olga. And, you know, that was when, you know, you were sniping. And, you know, it's no big deal. Like, we're friends now. It's
how,
like,
cool would it be?
I want to see that.
If they made
a
game, like, now that played through the events in 2.
Well, see, that's what I thought Subsistence or Substance was going to be, because they said Snake Tales. So I thought it was going to be playing the game through as Snake, which it wasn't. But, you know, the older I get, the less I mind that. Because I don't think Raiden's a bad character at all. I mean, I do think Rose is a terrible character, and I think she's terribly
forgettable.
Written. Well, the thing is, it's like, it could have been an interesting idea to have Raiden dealing with, like, you know, somebody he cares for and he loves, and I guess we should mention now that there are going to be spoilers.
Yeah, I would say, like, we're going to cover everything.
Yeah, so, like, the idea that at the end she might be an AI, and she's kind of messing with him and stuff like that. Like, that could be an interesting thing, but, like, she never fits the story, and maybe this is on purpose, but it's like, you know, Stillman will call you and be like, oh, you have 4 minutes to disable the bomb, otherwise we're all going to die, and then you call Rose to save to make sure you don't mess it up.
She's
Jack,
like, hey,
I went into your room, and you have posters, and you didn't have any, and why don't you have posters? Like, are you serious, Rose? Like, I can't talk about this right now.
We're about to die. Did you not get that message?
And I think, I mean, it's weird, because Kojima has always had issues with... I don't know if I would call it issues, so to speak, But more, I'm seeing a Puerto Rican man show me his nipples. This is what I want.
We just got flashed. It's okay. It was enjoyable.
I don't think Kojima's necessarily going out of his way to do this, but he has a weird time trying to portray women in, like, a regular light. And I think he got better at it in 3, but then he took a huge step back with, like, 4. The 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, Rose is just a terribly written character, and I just don't like her. Like, everybody else, she's fine in 4 for the most part. She's still kind of annoying. She's in
the
backseat
the whole time. She can't.
But I think, you know, it's just so weird that everybody hates Raiden, but you kind of forget about Rose. And I think Raiden's great compared to Rose. Like, at the end of the game, he has a sense of agency. He has his own kind of thing going on where he kind of realizes he's being used. And he gets out of it by the help of Snake.
Kind of want to, like, touch on that, use that as an opportunity to touch on the story arcs of 2 a little bit. Because we were talking earlier, before we even started the podcast,
so
in the car.
Weird.
So, I love Metal Gear. You love Metal Gear.
Yep.
I don't think either of us, in an easy way, could explain the story to a third party.
Because
I still don't really, really know.
I mean, I can explain it, but it's going to sound like a
lunatic
ranting. Yeah.
Kind of. And I feel like that started in 2, because 1 was a very open and closed book.
1 was pretty straightforward. There were twists, but they were kind of minor and kind of understandable.
I think where most people get lost are with, for lack of a better term, like the Patriot system and all that.
Yeah.
And then the cloning,
mm-hmm.
you know,
solid, you start kind of
getting like... what are we talking about again?
Ridiculous, yeah. And especially at the end of the game, where it's like, oh, it's the S3 simulation, it's the Solid Snake simulation. And then literally 2 minutes go by, they're like, no, it's the system for sustained sanity. And I'm like, what the hell are they talking about? Like, none of this makes sense.
The cutscenes in 4 was really when my brain got blown, like when they've gone
through
it. But in 2, just to kind of get your thoughts on it, so Raiden is being... sort of against his will, put through the same scenarios that made Snake.
Yeah.
Into
the way I understand it is the Patriot AIs wanted to see if they could manipulate somebody mentally into doing their will and doing what they want him to do, because they control it's kind of established that they control the flow of information, which is why the big theme is like, you know, who controls the internet, who controls the spread of information, which is actually it's an interesting idea. I just think it's way too complex for that game. And luckily 4 fixed all, like, answered pretty much all the questions you had from 2, but, like, it was just such an ambitious story that it was just so hard to understand, where it's, like, something about, like, the AIs, and then,
I just remember them going out of their way to mirror all of the...
Yeah.
...events from Metal Gear Solid, because,
and
like,
I thought that was a cool idea. Like, they're trying to... And I think I talk about it a little bit in my review, but it's, like... there's a lot of themes of, you know, myth and social thoughts and opinions on certain, like, things. Like, because they keep mentioning Shadow Moses, and even Raiden is kind of, like, breaking the fourth wall. And he's like, oh, yeah, I played VR missions, this and that, and it's showing clips from Metal Gear Solid VR missions. And it's like, the hell am I watching? But it's kind of saying, it's taking a point of saying, like, you... are playing this game because you are fond of Metal Gear Solid 1. Like, you want to see more of this. You remember that in a different way than other people.
Kojima loves to break the fourth wall, too. I mean, even at the end of 2, right, when the Colonel's talking to you, he's like, turn this game off now, or something like that.
You've been playing the game for a long time, right?
I remember that freaking me out the first, because it's like skull face, it's like half,
And I remember I played that part at like 2 in the morning. I was like, what the hell's going on?
That's what, because remember, I couldn't save, so I hit that around like 2:30 in the morning, and I was delirious and tired, and I was like, what is going on? Like, is this real?
It's kind of a bad habit of of mine, but I do tend to, every time a new Metal Gear game comes out, I kind of play it in one sitting.
Yep.
Like, I'll just play it
overnight. I'll be doing that again soon.
Me too. And I think that actually hurts the overall story, because I remember when I first played 2, I didn't understand anything that happened. And I just remembered all the action parts, which were fun, so I still enjoyed the game, but it was like, the hell happened in this game? And I still don't get the story 100%, but like, I have a much better understanding of it now that I'm an adult, and I was able to sit down, take my time with it, you know, listen to what's really being said. And so I think I have a better understanding, but it's still kind of weird.
Now, I was talking to you not too long ago. Have you ever seen the game trailers retrospectives
of Metal Gear?
So that's something that I definitely would like to show you and encourage any. I think they're still up on their site.
Yep.
I think we were talking even about doing a retrospective, and I was kind of like, hey, that's an awesome idea, but there's not a chance in hell anyone could ever do a better job.
Well,
but they did such
a
great job of covering every aspect of them.
Yeah.
But you listen to them, they're like 12-minute episodes, and your brain is about to explode.
Well, see, that's because
you're getting all of Metal Gear condensed into like 12 minutes, and you're
That was a problem when I was writing my reviews. It's like, there's so much I want to say, but you have to have a sense of brevity, and you can't just continually go on and on about everything. Like, I would love it if I could, but just my mind can't comprehend every single thing. Like, even today, there's still things that I'm like, oh, I should have talked about this for Metal Gear Solid 1 in the review. And it's like, I couldn't remember it because at the time, you know, you're trying to get the basics of, you know, you're trying to understand story, characters, and gameplay. That's what I always try to focus on. But it's so hard to do with Metal Gear because it's so, there's so much stuff going on in it.
Yeah.
So to move along, because we are on limited time. So Metal Gear Solid 2 ended. There were all sorts of questions, like, who the hell are the Patriots? What's going on with Sonny's daughter? Why is Raiden got, like, childbearing hips?
What's up
with Ocelot being liquid in his hand? We didn't even mention that.
Yeah, I was thinking when we were talking about 4 briefly, it's like, so now, and then,
retcon that.
And his arm takes over his personality somehow at times, because that makes sense.
It's interesting because the series has always flirted with supernatural stuff, but it's never quite, like, committed to it.
What I wanted to ask you is, did they ever concretely explain how Vamp even works?
Yes.
I mean, is that from his nanomachines?
Yes, they reveal in 4 that it's Naomi is injecting with nanomachines.
Just over and over and again, because he gets screwed up several times.
Yeah, he gets shot in the face, like, 2 times at least.
I mean, I know nanomachines are pretty powerful in this universe, but
they become as powerful or as weak as you need them, which is kind of weird. Like, they're kind of like the Deus Ex Machina of the whole series, where whenever you need something explained, it's nanomachines.
Yeah, it's it's the Force, you know, it's just, don't worry about it.
So 2 ended, it was insane, there's a bunch of questions, and they'd be answered in the next game.
But they won't.
Which is Metal Gear Solid 4, not
3. Yeah, exactly, it'll be answered in, what, 10 years?
3, I don't remember how it was revealed, but I knew pretty fairly early on that it wasn't going to be the continuation of Solid Snake. It was going to be the beginning of Big Boss.
See, I was very bad at paying attention to things like that. And I don't think I noticed that
really
until I was about a half an hour into the game.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, this is in the 60s. I was like, I'm not Solid Snake.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because I remember my friend was convinced. He's like, no, it's not Big Boss. You're really playing the game as a simulation. You're as Solid Snake to try to go in the past to learn what the Patriots are. And it's going to be the sequel to 2. I'm like, it doesn't look like it, dude. It looks like it's just straight up Big Boss in the 60s. He's like, no, it has to be Solid Snake. They're not going to do that. Why would they do that? I'm like, well, they did it. So,
Big Boss is pretty awesome.
Yeah, Big Boss is pretty cool.
Whoop Dave. Like, John would whoop Dave all day long.
Well, he does at the end of 4.
That's
true. So, with 3, it was an entirely different game. And I think in a lot of ways, at first I didn't understand why they would do that. Like, we all know, because they spend most of 2 and 1 talking about how cool Big Boss is. But you wouldn't expect them to go into the past and then flesh out the character as much as they did, which is one of the reasons why I love the series, is because they do go back, they explain things, you know, they want everybody to have a story. Like, everybody has motivations and a story in the game, which is great.
And from a gameplay perspective too, they changed some, like, one of my, not complaints, but one of the things I wish I got more out of too was more diverse, you know, environment to play in. And you go through the jungle, you go through all these bases, and the whole survival system, I thought was really, really well done in 3. I mean, you really kind of, you have a stealth game, and you're in the woods and really kind of absorbed into.
Well, see, that's kind of why I didn't mention all the weird, cool stuff you can do in 1 and 2, because, like, you know, the Mantis fight where you plug in the different controller port, that's awesome, and he reads your memory card, that's awesome as well. And there's all sorts of little things you can do, but they pale in comparison to all the crazy crap you could do in 3.
Yeah.
Like, just on the end fight. Like, you can kill him normally with a sniper rifle, like, in that thing, and that's great.
Oh, you mean the sniper? Oh, yeah, the end. Not the ending fight.
No, not the ending.
Yeah. I did that, and then you can also let it sit for a day or a week.
So if you turn off the game and let it sit for a week, he dies of old age.
If you save it and turn off the game, he dies of old age in a week, and I did that once before, too.
And then, you know, even if you do it straight, there's still, you can sneak up behind him, you can shoot him with shotguns, you can, you know, trank him and stuff, but then he falls asleep, and the sun is, like, photosynthesis, so he actually regains his stamina, so you have to do it quick. But the coolest thing is, you don't even have to fight him. Like, there's a part where you can snipe him while he's on the docks, and then he just explodes and he dies, and then when you get to that part, you don't fight him.
I feel like I might have known about that, but I'm not sure that I did. I kind of want to try that now.
But yeah, but that's the thing, though. Like, it's really hard to do. I only did it once, but when you do it, it feels cool. But, like, but every single thing in the game was like that. Like, every boss fight, you could do multiple ways. And even the end fight with the boss, like, I finally beat it just using CQC, like, when I beat it for the review. And it's just so cool that you can go through the game and do things any way you feel like you want to do.
That fight was an incredibly memorable one, too, the boss. And
I still like the boss battles from Metal Gear Solid 1 the best, but I think MGS3 definitely is in the running, like, at least tied, I'd say, because it's just so, like, the Cobra unit's so weird. There's a guy that's made out of bees, and he shoots bees at you, and
put 4 into that category, but the only reason why 4's boss fights are good is because they're mimicking and recreating the boss fights from
that
1.
And I don't think I could ever, like, they're not super memorable to me, because the whole thing with the Beauty and the Beast core is just kind of gross, like, I mean, I understand what he's
those,
going for, but...
Well, they were, like, Japanese supermodels or something like
that? Yeah, they were supermodels Kojima liked, and then he turned them into,
and you get their faces afterwards. Yeah. It's the creepiest thing. And
you can take pictures of them and make them dance to J-pop, too.
That used to... we've got so much to do about 4, but just as a brief thing into 4, that used to piss me off so much, because I would be playing around and I'd leave one of those stupid masks on just because it's funny. But then you'd enter some super serious cutscene, and I'm like, screw it. Totally ruined this for myself.
That's why in 3, I would never use the snow camera
the geisha
cool
girl
camera.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Because that was the best one you could use, but if you beat it like that, you'd look like an idiot.
My whole like ending cutscene, I had the geisha or geisha, whatever.
Yeah. So I think 3 was also. The thing is, I didn't expect it to be as deep as it was, but it was definitely crazy how much, like, characterization they gave people. You know, Ocelot's in it, and he's young, and he's kind of a dick, but he's still pretty cool, even though he's, like, you know, fresh-faced and everything. And it kind of shows why he's so obsessed with the boss, because it's kind of this weird rivalry thing where he looks up to him as, you know, like a role model. And Big Boss, I think, is a great character, and I think they've done a lot with him to the point where he's actually a really sad, kind of upsetting character, because he seems to spend the whole series kind of finding a place for himself.
And
he realizes how used he was at the end of
3, you know, and what a deception for killing
3,
the boss.
Yeah, like,
and
which is insane, and the thing is, like, that's why I like the boss character, is because she never tells him what's going on, because he can't know. Like, she's sacrificing so much to make sure that, you know, the world is okay. And she ends up saving the world, pretty much, because if Volgan had taken over Russia with all the nukes and everything like that, and then you'd have the Shagohod, like, some bad stuff would have happened. But, I mean, I think that's... The characters are such an interesting part of 3.
And that ending cutscene, too. I mean, just, like, there's so much emotion. It's been in a PS2 game, even, really. Just in his face, the way that he's, like, hanging his head low, and they reward him with that medal or whatever it is.
I think that's when he kind of realizes that he just can't be a part of it anymore.
And to think, like, and back to what I said earlier about Kojima just tying... And then that kind of ties back into, you know, Metal Gear and Zanzibar and, like, how... Big Boss got turned into...
Well, that's what 5's going to be about, which is why I'm super pumped up for 5.
That's going to be
great. The only other thing that really bothers me about 3, and it's a problem I have, but I don't think anybody else does, I don't like that they made fun of Raiden in it. Because remember, Volgan's lover is the guy named Rykov, and then when you dress up as him, like, Volgan comes up, he's like, oh, there you are. They make him out to be, like...
And he looks just like Raiden. I forgot about that.
The weeniest little gay guy you could ever think of. And it's like, dude, really, like, do you really need to do this? Like, Raiden's fine. Like, people complain, but people always complain. Like, you don't have to insult Raiden. Like, it's such a low blow, and I don't... Kojima usually doesn't do things like that, where he just insults characters. Like, oh, yeah, you hate him? Yeah, he sucks. I hate him. It's like, no, he usually supports his character, which is why it's so weird, and it felt so, like, off-putting. It's like, dude, like, Raiden was fine. Like, you know, people complain about him, but he's all right at the end. And that's more of my problem. I don't think that's a legitimate issue with the game. I just think it's something I don't.
No, it was a little. I actually forgot about it until just now.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, it was really fun. It's really interesting. And even though it didn't answer really any of the questions for two, and it actually created
more questions than it answered. Yeah.
I think that's an integral part of the series, and I think the series wouldn't have been as strong if they didn't do that.
Well, I mean, coming into five now, it's almost. Almost like a pattern, but I know that this is concretely his last one, but he's said that before.
Yeah, I mean, it pretty much has to be with the way Konami is, because he doesn't have the rights anymore. So,
yeah, but two was set up for four.
Yep.
And three is kind of setting up for five. You know,
I would say more Peace Walker set up for five, but three is the lead into it, which I think is important. So three is great. And I do want to talk about five, so we'll move on a little bit more. So three ended. It was great. And that's the one I played the most of, just because it's so fun to go back into it, you know, play around the camouflage, try to do boss battles differently. Like, there's so much stuff in that game. For whatever reason, I didn't get 4 when it was released, because I didn't have a PS3, which makes sense, but, like, it completely flew under my radar, and something about it, maybe I was burned out from the series at the time, but I completely forgot about it until, like, a year after it was released. So I had no idea what was up with 4. At the beginning, until I finally bought it and played it, and I'm like, why did I wait so long?
I have to say, like, I love all of them, and I don't want to call 4 my favorite.
Yeah.
But I was so heavily attached and invested into 4.
Yeah.
I know, like, the cutscene problem, it's epidemic, but you have to realize what it is doing is answering all of these questions. And for the people that play the game because they just wanted to play an action game, or because they wanted to just play even the stealth game.
That's not what it is.
It's like, not. It's
finishing
finishing this story, and it was made for the people that are vested into that.
Yeah.
And that required, I mean, I don't know, I'm sure it could have been edited a little bit.
Well, because the thing is, it's so...
But I loved it for that reason, though, because I literally ordered a pizza...
Yeah,
when the ending cutscene started,
you didn't.
It was delivered during the cutscene. I signed for it and then ate it during the remainder of the last cutscene. I mean, I think it's like an hour and 40 minutes.
It's long. It's like movie length.
Yeah, it's like a legit movie. That's just the final cutscene. But I remember so many parts of 4, and I haven't gone back and played it again. And I always, well, I have. Yeah. I've started it over and over again, and I've played the beginning segment for some reason. It still holds up like amazing, but in my mind it's almost like, I know it's a newer console or a new generation game, but you know, you think back in like Metal Gear Solid 1 before you replayed it recently and you think the graphics were great, and then you play it and you're like, oh, I don't want that to happen to me when I play 4 again.
No, 4 still has beautiful graphics,
because I remember playing that game being like, how is this real? I was just
Especially like the facial stuff. Like, going back now, seeing what's in 5, like, the facial stuff doesn't look incredible, but it still looks very, very good.
Yeah. The gun customization used to, like, I love that.
I did love it, but I used to play those games as somebody who only used tranquilizers.
I never
tried to kill anybody, so I was always wanted to customize all these cool guns, but I was like, I don't want to kill anybody, though.
I think you can get, like, a musket if you save up, like, 2 million or something.
Yeah, you can. It's a Tane Shigami or something like that, and it shoots out a tornado.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
See, I never got it.
Yeah, I mean, that's another one of those little parts. But 4, I mean, I think definitely the big draw of 4 is the story. And the story is actually, like, really depressing, because Snake is an old guy.
You know he's dying from the beginning.
I worked it out. I want to say he's, like, 45 in the game, but he looks like he's 80.
Right, which is explained because of, like, that's just how he's engineered.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just, I mean, thinking of Big Boss's life and how depressing that was, and then his, you know, Solid Snake being...
That's kind of what I wanted to touch on. It was, like, I think 3 started the trend of the Snake lineage being people who are tortured and used and abused, and I think 4 kind of expanded on that, because, like, near the end, especially, like, you know, Snake is just beaten up. Like, he is bloody and raw, half his face is burned.
I mean, the ending sequence, like, him sacrificing himself to go through that microwave hallway, I mean, that was a hell of an emotional...
Watch,
and you're doing it to him. I mean, you're just pressing forward on the thumbstick, but...
Well, you have to jam on the buttons, yeah. Yeah, it's just like, it was so hard to kind of watch like this character that you really grew to love. Like, I love Solid Snake. He's such a good character. So is Big Boss. But just to see him old and worn out, and he's constantly coughing, and all he wants to do is sit down and smoke cigarettes. It's like, and I do love how, like, in the briefing, a lot of the time, he just acts like a regular old dude. Like, he just sits down and, like, nods off.
Yeah, he does. You know?
He's just wearing his weird, he's got his weird coach mustache and stuff. Like, he's just such an old, lovable dude. And then just to see him get constantly tortured, and then when people are like, dude, you're getting messed up, like, even Otacon's like, why don't we just stop? Like, why don't we just not do this? Because you can't beat Liquid. Like, he's too powerful. And then Snake is just like, no, I have to do it. Like, it has nothing to do with what I want to do. Like, I have to end this. And it was really interesting to see that. And
I mean, just thinking back on 4 now, it's like, yeah, so many thoughts just come, yeah, to my mind. But yeah, it is just a beautiful game.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's hard not to just not just like graphically wise. I think
just,
like,
in general, like, yeah, everything is just so.
Yeah.
I played the online for a good bit too, and not too much.
I played a little bit of it. Yeah.
I wish I had friends that wanted to, because it seemed like it was very team based.
It was kind of interesting, and I think 5's is pretty interesting looking too. So I'm excited to check that out.
What are you getting 5 on?
PS4.
Ah, damn it! I guess I could still change, but I don't.
Oh, you don't have to. So I think we touched on it a little bit, but the Beauty and the Beast core was kind of weird, and because the thing is, the idea behind it, that there are all these abused women who are taken and used by the PMCs as, like, these ultimate weapons because they're all messed up in their head. Like, that could be an interesting thing. But they spend too much time sexualizing them to the point where it's just kind of gross feeling. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, I mean, like the idea. They're wearing
skin tight, like, crazy. Yeah,
and not only that, but every time the camera's on them, it's always, like, zooming in on their boobs or their butts.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, come on, dude, really? Like, I'm an adult. Like, this isn't sexy to me. This is just kind of weird and annoying. But, you know, I think people have made a bigger issue out of that than they should have. Because I think Kojima's just a weird guy. I don't think he means anything bad by his portrayal of women in the series or anything like that. I just think that's kind of who he is. Which, you know, there is an argument to be made that it is problematic, and I'll agree. Like, I'm worried about the way Quiet's going to be in 5, because it's just a lady wearing a thong, you know, and then he comes out and he's like, oh, well, when you learn her story, you're going to be really upset that you thought she was just a sexual object. I'm like, oh, God, what is this? Like, please, don't do something really weird and creepy.
Oh, you
please.
Know he's going to do something weird and creepy.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's all right.
He is the king of uncomfort, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is true. Like, the president grabbing Raiden's crotch in 2, and then Volgan grabbing Raiden's crotch in, well, Raiden.
A lot of
Denovich,
crotch grabbing.
Yeah, crotch grabbing.
Basically summarizing the Metal Gear series.
Sexually abusing Ava in that game. There's so much weird stuff that's, like, really uncomfortable in it. But as far as 4 goes, it answered pretty much all the questions. And I think that's what was needed. Obviously, I mean, you can't really.
Not too long ago, we were having I don't think you were here for that. I was here for a podcast, and we were talking about disappointing endings. And Mass Effect came up, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Metal Gear 4, I think, is the only. The Metal Gear series is probably the only one that I can compare to to Mass Effect. Not in a gameplay perspective, but a length of time invested into a universe that's so well fleshed out. And the fact that they were able to make everyone happy with their conclusion to it was pretty, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't have asked for a better ending.
What I thought was funny was the game ended, and you think Snake killed himself.
And then
he comes back.
And
that's such a downer, because you're like, oh, dude, why, dude? He didn't have to do it. And then,
even knowing that he had maybe like a week or a month left to just live his life however he actually wanted to.
And then since it's a Kojima game, they had to put the end credits thing where Big Boss comes back.
Yep.
With Zero. Who's basically a living mummy or something. Like, he's
just
like a
complete vegetable.
He's
just
man.
Like, sounds like Darth Vader. And
which, in most series, like, if you explain this to me, I would think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. But when you actually play the whole series, and then you see Big Boss come with the eye patch, and he's got, like, the old trench coat on with, like, the weird shoulder stuff from, like, the 80s and stuff, I'm like, dude, that's so awesome.
And he's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to kill Zero.
Yeah.
And then he just, like, he turns the valve on his oxygen tank for, like, and he just holds his shoulder still, and the guy's like,
There was something touching about him coming back and kind of telling Snake, it's like, look, give it up. Like, yeah, it's over. Don't live the rest of your life like this. Like, just go and live.
Just
like,
seeing him interact with... it up. I remember getting chills just seeing Big Boss interact with, you know, Snake.
Well, from what I understand, in the Japanese version, the actor who played Big Boss was actually the actor... was actually the father of the actor who played Snake.
Huh.
So in the Japanese version, there's actually, you know, that kind of dynamic where it's just an actual father talking to his actual son. But I think, I mean, I think that was like, because, you know, Big Boss had the boss, which was something like a deep regret. Like, he didn't want to kill her, and it weighed on his conscience heavily. And it's sort of the same way with Snake, where he knows that Big Boss had to die, and he had to get eliminated. But there's still, you know, he's still living in the shadow of Big Boss. And I think for him to come back and Big Boss to just be like, look, dude, it's over. Like, just give it up. Like, I'm going to die. Zero's going to die. All this is over. Don't worry about it. Like, it's done. Which was such a good thing to see. Like, that's such a good closure on the series. So I love 4. I mean, I hated it when I first played it. Because I'm like, dude, it's like 6 hours of cutscenes and like 2 hours of gameplay.
The only gripe about the cutscenes was just that we talk a lot about not having time to play games.
Yeah.
And starting a cutscene and being like, shit, I have to be at work in a half an hour and I don't know if this is going to be over
by luckily, then. You can pause the cutscenes, but you can't stop them and then pick them up later.
Right.
Which I wish they had done. So there's only one question that remains in the whole series. How the hell did Big Boss turn evil? And
we're about to find out.
We're going
to
talk about it a little tiny bit here.
I think the groundwork's already set, though.
You know? I mean, I don't know. Obviously, we don't know anything because the game's not out. But I have a feeling something's going to happen to Snake where he finally just goes over the edge in 5. Like, they're not going to make him to be just a straight up evil guy where he's like, oh, I'm evil now, it turns out. Because I don't think that's
it's going to be character. Some regrettable and forceful decision.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I don't want to go on about it, because, you know, we can speculate all we want, but at the end, I don't know what the hell's going to happen and I want it to be a surprise. So I don't know. Any last words you want to say? What are you excited about 5-4? You pumped up?
Yeah, just pumped to get through it. You know, I'm excited to get back into the metal. I mean, just this last month being like, you know, re-engaged in all the Metal Gear stuff has been awesome.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a refresher every now and again. And
yeah, I will say again, it's a lot of work to play through all 4 games in a month, but I'm glad I did it because I'm definitely excited. We didn't talk about Peace Walker, but, you know, that's a cool game.
Stick to the
it's
numerics,
awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of Metal Gear lore out there.
If you want, you can look up the Peace Walker movie on YouTube, which is a summation of the whole story if you don't want to play through it, because it is actually a really long game.
Yeah.
It's a really good one. It's one of my favorites, so definitely check it out.
All right. Well, was...
That does it.
Concludes our first Mic to Mic.
First Mic to Mic. We had some good chats.
Yeah, hopefully we can get this coming out every week.
Hopefully.
And swing by Game Clubs, gameclubs.org/forum at the moment to jump in. And if
join
you guys
discussion.
Have any... Yeah. Have any thoughts, then send them our way.
Maybe we'll make a forum for Mic to Mic or something.
I think there's going to have to be.
All right.
Thank you.